So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Thank you for your word, which is a blueprint, Lord, for how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to react. God, it covers everything. Speak to us now, Lord. Give us instruction. And then give us the courage to go out and live your word. We want revelation, God. We don't just want information. And then we want the revelation to lead to transformation, a changed life, a changed heart. Then we want it to shine through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the light that's in us, and infect and affect a lost and dark, dying world. God, we need the light of your word more than ever. Give us the courage to speak up, to share our story, to share Christ, to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Don't let us be intimidated by the culture or the climate, our society. Let us be bold for Christ as you were bold for us, dying on that cross and resurrecting on that third day. Bless your people to hear, to discern, to receive your word this morning, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's go to John, the book of John. Let's pick up the story. Let's pick it up. At verse 13. So, chapter 9, verse 13. Amen. And so we know that Jesus has healed the blind man. And family, for those of you that are taking notes, I'm not near the podium, but you know I have notes on my notes. But I would recommend that you take notes, just because God is always speaking. We just have to make sure we're listening. But as we're going through this is what God revealed to me and just was ministering to my heart as we've been on the Jesus being the light of the world, that all of our appointments, all of our encounters with someone are divine appointments. Okay, nobody, you guys not feeling that right now. I get it. But hear what I'm saying. It starts with the Pharisees. Then it goes to the neighbors. I'm sorry, it starts with the disciples. Then it goes to the neighbors. Then it goes to the Pharisees. Then it goes to his parents. And then it comes back to disciples. All those encounters are divine, set up by God. All of those encounters are divine. All of our encounters are divine. I'm going to share with you in the word. Even we kind of, God revealed that on Wednesday night, how Saul, when he was being selected as king, that he set up some divine encounters for him. So just reflect back on your week and the people that you came across. See, because if you don't understand that they're divine encounters, you'll disrespect people. You'll go off on people. You might cuss somebody out. You might not even speak to them because you don't understand it's divine. And I'm telling you all, because nothing happens on accident. God purposely sets people in our path for a divine encounter. And if we're not in that space, if we're not understanding that, then we got attitude, we're rude, we're disrespectful, we're silent, we don't say, and we miss an opportunity to let our light shine for God. It's all about letting our light shine. All divine encounters. Okay, so here we are, we pick it up. Now they brought him to the Pharisees. A divine encounter for the Pharisee, because they were so legalistic. They didn't care about him. They didn't care that he was born blind. They have the nerve to be upset because somebody got healed. And they're supposed to be religious folk. So God sets up a divine encounter for them. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that was formerly blind. And it was the Sabbath day, and Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. So I'm going to repeat myself a little bit and say it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. We know that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus created the day Days are subject to Christ. Christ is not limited or subject to a day. God moves when he desires. God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants to do. Family, never put God in a box. Never limit God in your life to time, because God is outside of time. Never give up on your life, your dreams. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your siblings. You never know how God is going to work. Pharisees didn't care that the man was healed. The problem was the man wasn't healed how they thought the man should have been healed. They thought their agenda superseded God's agenda. They're not happy that your life has changed. It should be changed a different way. They're not happy that you can be forgiven. They think it's based on works, but it's based on the grace of God. So the issue is to them is the way your life was changed, as opposed to God changing your life. It's the religious folks. So they said he shouldn't have been healed on the Sabbath. So then in our culture, we're kind of like the opposite, because we think the only day to talk about Jesus is on Sunday. See, they said he shouldn't have been working on Sunday. We say I'm going to talk about him on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I'm not going to say anything about him. So we got the whole idea of the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. We should be talking about him every day. It's not just on Sundays and then during the week we're the private eye Christian, Monday through Saturday. Don't want to be known, don't want to be seen, don't know, oh, no. That's just a Sunday thing, it's a Sabbath thing. See, we got it the opposite. They say don't do anything on the Sabbath. We say we're only going to do something on the Sabbath. We're only going to be known on the Sabbath for being a Christian. But on my job, that's separate. That's Sunday. Oh, I'm going to put my Jesus on the shelf. It's a problem both ways. And as a pastor, I've been at services and I've heard people get into arguments. I heard people come up to the pastor and argue with him after the service, saying it's inappropriate to talk about Christ at my family member's funeral. Ready to fight. It's not time to talk about that right now. Seriously? Isn't that something? You don't talk about it anywhere but on Sunday in church. That's religious folks. And family, we have to discern that every day we have divine appointments. I'm telling you, family, we are missing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, because we're not dialed into God like we should be. Make a note, it's always the right time to talk about Christ. It's always the right time to talk about Christ. Dominique Crystal, take us to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2. So I'm not going to unpack this because we unpack it on Wednesday nights. But I want you to show how these divine appointments, I want to show you how these divine appointments were set up by God. And I look back because God really spoke to my heart on Wednesday night about divine appointments. So I made sure on Thursday I thought about it. And the people I came in contact with, it's changed my life, family, because I recognize this was no accident that I ran into this person or that person or this person, and Christ came up. It's no accident, Big Mother. I'm not wasting. We don't have a day to waste. You don't know if you're going to see them again, and you don't know why God sent them your way that day. And we can be on the job, like I said. We could be cussing people out. We could be ready to fight. I hate his guts. But I'm telling you, God has set it up. Family, this is mature Christian stuff. I get it. And you got to get out of yourself. You got to get out of your feelings. You got to get out of your attitude. And you got to understand that God's having people cross your path, and it's a divine appointment. So here's Samuel telling Saul. He says, when you depart from me today, then you shall find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin of Zelah, and they will say unto you, the donkeys which you went to seek are found. And lo, your father had left care of the donkeys in sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Here's the key point. He's going to run into two men. Next verse. Then you should go on forward from there, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet three men. All right. He's saying, look, you're going to run into two people. On your job tomorrow, you're going to run into a man. Then the next day, you're going to run into two men. Then you're going to run into a lady at the bus stop. Then you're going to be at the gym, and then you're going to see somebody. Then you're going to be at the grocery store, and the person behind you, I sent to be behind you, for you to say hello, start a conversation, share Christ, get your groceries, be thankful you got money to pay for them, and get out of there. Next one. And they shall salute you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive of their hands. Next one. After that, you should come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of Philistines. This shall come to pass when you are come there to the city, that you shall meet a company of prophets going down from the high place with the psaltery, with the tabret, with a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. He said, look, your whole life is planned out. God got you running into people at school, at work. You're going to have a teacher that needs to know about Christ, and at some point, you're going to have to share the gospel with them when you get the time. It's a divine appointment. All right, let's go back to John. No, go ahead. I had verse. Look what verse 6 said. Go ahead, take us to 6 and 7. I had it in my notes. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and shall be turned into, another man. Your life's going to be transformed because of divine appointments. You think they're just coming to run track, Jerry? It's a lot deeper than that. It's a lot deeper than that. You think they're just working at the restaurant? It's a lot deeper than that. And if you don't understand that, you'll disrespect them or you'll take them for granted, and you'll never know that God had it set up. And we've talked about that Bible. So like the gentleman at your job now, God is working on somebody. And look at verse 7. And let it be when these signs come unto thee that you do occasion as you're supposed to do, make a note, for God is with you. So you're not on that divine appointment by yourself. God's with you. Amen. So I'm saying you got to be dialed in, family. I know it's real life. What do I do when I leave here? You're going to run into somebody. You're going to be doubting God. Do I share Christ with them? God, how do I share Christ with them? See, it keeps you dialed into Christ and not into yourself. It keeps you God conscious and not self-conscious. And you say, well, I don't even know a scripture. Tell your story like the man told his story. Tell them that Jesus loves you. Plant the seed, water the seed. You don't have to save anybody. That's God's job. Amen. And then remember that God is with you. And by the way, as you're making these divine appointments, God is transforming you. Oh, man, I'm excited about this. Amen. Okay, let's go back to John chapter 9 in verse 14. So here's the other thing I want you to make a note. So you just say, pastor's going off and just making stuff up, all right? I'm trying to go according to the word, all right? So when you get a chance, those of you taking notes, I want you to go to Acts 21, all right? Here we go. Let me give this to you really quickly. And that's when Paul's arrested. And then in verse 22, Paul is before the crowd. Listen to these divine appointments. Verse 22, he gets arrested. You think you got arrested and it was on accident? Well, anyway, you know it was on purpose. But anyway, you know what you did. But anyway, all right? While you're there, Paul gets arrested. Verse 22, he's before the crowd. Verse 23, they take him before the Sanhedrin. Verse 24, he's before Felix. And then verse 21, he gets arrested. Chapter 22, he's before the crowd. Chapter 23, he's before the Sanhedrin. Chapter 24, he's before Felix. Chapter 25, he's before Festus. Chapter 25 and chapter 26, he's before King Agrippa. And the King Agrippa says, Paul, you've almost convinced me to become a Christian. Then in verse 27, he gets shipwrecked. And then on chapter 28, he's on the island of Melita, where the viper gets around his hand and he ministers to the whole island. Then he also goes to Rome in chapter 28. All divine appointments. All divine. And then Paul says after that, after he's gone through all that, he says in Romans 8:28, and I know that all things, I've been shipwrecked, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, left for dead. After he's, this is when he, after he goes through all that, he writes Romans and says, all things. It's not when the bills were paid and everybody loved him and the job was booming and the business was booming. He didn't write it then. He wrote it after he had gone through everything. He said, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Divine appointments. Family, you got to see the world in a whole different lens. I'm telling you, and it takes time. Because I was reflecting and I was, and some of them I didn't take advantage of. Even like yesterday, some of the, it was like I should have been a little more dialed into the divine appointments that came my way. Some of them I was, yeah, but it should have been all of them. Should have been all of them. So it takes a while to get used to that you have a divine appointment with somebody who you don't really, might not like, or you don't really know. So just be mindful that it's all set up. Your whole life is set up, orchestrated, and ordained by God. Like a beautifully woven tapestry that conforms you to his image and works out for your good. Although it might not feel good at the time, somebody say amen. All right, so then we have verse 15 and 9 and 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes. So tell your story as often as you need to. And then you get to verse 16. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Make a note, when you take a stand for Christ, when you commit your life to Christ, there will be division in your circle of friends. That's right, amen. It will be, because everybody's not going to be happy about your transformed life. There will be division. You can't take a stand for Christ and be cool with everybody. See, and your divine appointment is to let your light shine. This is what this whole thing is about. Jesus passed us the baton. We're the light of the world, and we got to understand, now that we're the light of the world, every encounter we have with someone is a divine appointment. And not everybody's going to like that, and that's okay. You're not rude. You're not arrogant. You're humble. You share Christ when you can. But you understand it's a divine appointment. And just like this, despite this miracle, you still have people that won't believe. And that's not your job, to get people to believe. You plant and you water, and that's it. Some of you are working outside of your job description. You're trying to save somebody. You're trying to change somebody. That's not our job. That's why you're frustrated, because you're outside of your job description. Just let your light shine. Be nice. Show compassion, show love, be respectful. Sometimes be quiet. And let God work out the details. But it will be division when you take a stand for Christ. It's just no way. So here we are. Look at verse 17. They said unto the blind man again. Woo, I'm about tired of them asking him the same question. But they asked him, what do you say about him? And that he said he's a prophet. We talked about it last week. He said he's a man that hears that God speaks to, and then he speaks to us. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. Whew. Regardless of what you say, family, you're going to have people that just won't believe. They could be looking at it and seeing it, and we try and figure out, how is the world don't see that this place is falling apart? How is it your coworkers don't see that this world is falling apart? And they want to get mad at somebody else, because it's always somebody else's fault. So they want to blame the president. They want to blame the boss. They want to blame the police. They want that you got to blame somebody. They refuse to give God the glory and submit to God. It has to be somebody's fault. It's not God trying to teach me and humble me and have me run to him. It has to be somebody else. Somebody else's fault. So here we are in verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now here we go, another divine appointment. Another divine. God's trying to speak to the parents. God's trying to speak to our family as well. So he sets things up where we have the opportunity to share Christ with our family and anybody else who's around who's listening. It's a divine appointment. When you get the opportunity, share Christ with your family. Now remember, it's tough. This gentleman has been somewhat rejected by the neighbors, which we understand. Those are the people on the outside fringes. Then he comes to church and gets rejected by the religious folks. Now you know that hurts. You're like, man, church, I should at least get some type of love, some type of healing, some type of compassion and comfort from church. But they want to talk about how I got healed, not the fact that I'm healed. Not that I'm delivered. They want to talk about, but how did you do it? And who did it? No, you don't understand. My life has changed. I'm thankful. That's not enough for the religious folks. And so then they go bring in, you some kind of way God sets up and you get to talk to your family and you think they should really be happy for you. And then you get rejected by your family and that really hurts. But it's a divine appointment. And you got to get out of your feelings. And you got to share Christ. Amen, chosen. That's right. And you got to get out of your feelings. Otherwise, you're taking it personal. And it's not personal. It's a divine appointment. Stop. You work for God now. You work for Christ. Stop taking it personal. You are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You got a new boss. And you can't be walking around with your feelings on your sleeves. You can't because he already showed. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. And there's going to be division. It has to be. But our job, be compassionate, show love. Don't be rude. Don't get into arguments. Why are you arguing? They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. Just give them the word. Give them your story. And then let it go. It's a divine appointment. And then look for the next divine appointment. Somebody say amen. So now they bring in his parents. Now you got mama and daddy. Verse 19. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know not. We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Stop right there. Dude, they should have been jumping. This dude was born blind. That should have been ended. This whole chapter should have been ended right there. The parents come and say, look, wait. I'm not going to even ask y'all how many have kids. How many ever seen a kid? I'm not going to say that this morning. But you hear what I'm saying? Your kid is born blind and now he's able to see. Man, this is incredible. Think about your kid now. And think about it. In the education world, we would call this special needs because we have to make accommodations for kids, students that are visually impaired or even blind. But now your kid, man, you would be jumping up. Oh, my gosh. And I would tell them, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Now, we know that all our kids have some type, whether it's identified or not. Parents, we know it's identified. Not you, Rosie. Anybody else kid here? We're gonna talk. Except for Rosie, Jesus. And Keon, y'all, you know, y'all, not y'all. But our kids, we can notice whether it's identified or not. Parents, will somebody say amen and help Pastor out this morning? It's a special need that they have. It normally comes in the form of this. That's a special. That's a special need, all right. Hey, Dad. Yeah. Say in the name of, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. See, and it hurts to be rejected by, as I said, in friends and neighbors, but when family says you're born, read this, Kathy, so I'm going to read it. Say your son was born blind, then how does he see? And see, people want to give credit to everyone else. He's already told them that Jesus did it. See, now you got to deal with hard-head people, and it's okay, because Jesus did too. They want them to say, oh, it was the doctor. It was this business deal, and it was his intelligence, his skill. He was so smart that he just sat and thought, and he was able to see. It was his education. It was his good looks. He had to get his eyesight go with his good looks. But family, I tell you now, and I've said it before, if God didn't give us the strength to get up, we couldn't do nothing. And until you've been sick and you laid out on your back and you realize, man, this thing could be over any minute. You go to the doctor and they do your blood work and say they need to see you right away. You realize if it ain't but the grace of God, you ain't doing nothing. They want to give the glory to everything but God. Bring his parents in. Parents will not give God the glory either. Look at verse 20 and 21 again. It says, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who had opened his eyes, we know not. But he is of age. Come on, parents, will you stick up for your kid? They should have shouted from the highest mountain, Jesus did it. See, they're intimidated by the religious folks. Family, we can't be religious or get bullied by this culture to keep our mouth shut. There is a way that you can share Christ without being offensive, without being rude, without losing your job. I remember when I taught school, and I had my Bible on my desk. And during silent reading time, I read my Bible, okay? And the kids would come up, Mr. Carter, you a Christian? And I would hide and say, no. No, I'm just kidding. No. So, and I would say, absolutely. Well, I go to church with my mom. Is that right? Well, what church do you go to? And then we start talking about God and everybody else is listening. And this is during silent reading time because we all read our favorite book during silent reading. There's a way you can share Christ without getting fired. And then when I taught high school, it was just on my desk. And I had all the dominoes and the checkers and all that kind of stuff in my class. And all the kids would come in and my Bible was on the desk. Mr. Carter, that's your Bible? See, it's lunchtime now. That's my time. They're in there because they want to be there. And now we're talking about God in the midst of a domino game. And then Lady Tracy would call because she knew what time my lunch was. And it's all, I thought you was at lunch. I am. They just won't leave my classroom. Somebody say amen. Amen. I am. They won't leave. Tracy, I can't get rid of them. Everybody comes and hangs out. And we say, it's the way you can do it. You can have Bible study at lunch on your job. And invite a few people to come. When I was assistant principal at Hamilton Middle School, every Tuesday and Thursday morning before work, it was about 10 teachers that came to our office, and we had prayer and Bible study. So, way you can share Christ without getting fired. Because you big and bold and you a super Christian. Just calm down. All right. Just let your light shine. Be nice. Don't be rude. Relate to people. Show some love and compassion. And use the wisdom of God, and he'll show you. I'm telling you, he will. And it just hurts when your family don't even want to share or support you. Oh, he goes to some church. All right, that ain't us. That's him. That's okay. That's her thing. Yeah, she's that Jesus, you know, the Jesus freak thing. That's her. Holy world, that's okay. Because I know there's divine appointments. And as we continue to unpack this, I mean, this is just so powerful. All right, verse 20 and 21. His parents answered and said, "We know this is our son and he was born blind." I can't get over that. Having kids, I just can't understand that. How you can be intimidated not to support your kids when your kid is in the right. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age, ask him, he can speak for himself. We're not getting involved. That's the rejection right now. We're not getting involved in this Jesus stuff. He's old enough, he can speak for himself. Look at verse 22. This is a kicker. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. See, they're afraid of the culture. What are people going to think? What are the religious folks going to think? For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Okay, family, let me get this revelation and then we're going to wrap it up until next week. Make a note of this. This is spiritual warfare at the highest level. That shows how the religious leaders were influenced by Satan. I'm going to show you the connection right here. Underline the word confess. Jews had already agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, you bet not say Jesus. Listen to this. They're saying you bet not ever say that Jesus Christ is Christ. That word confess, it means to declare, to proclaim, to say. Crystal, take us to Romans 10 and 9. Dominique, Crystal, take us to Romans 10 and 9. And then God is telling us this is the only way you're going to be saved if you do confess. The last thing the religious folks want you to do is to confess that Jesus, but that's the only way, Big Mother, that we can be saved if we do confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The last thing the world wants you to do is to influence someone to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you don't even understand that's a divine connection where you're planting that seed, you're watering that seed so somebody can get to the point that they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because if they don't, they won't be saved. And if you haven't, you're not saved. That's what the word says, that if you shall confess, that's the same word confess that's used in John. I looked it up. It's the same word. In the Greek, it's the same word. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, what did they say? If anybody confess, you better not say it. If you do, we're kicking you out. The parents were afraid to get saved because of the religious folks. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's why you know it's a spiritual thing. Nobody better, you better not ever say Jesus. That's why they don't want you to say Jesus Christ on you. You can say God, oh, I just want to thank, but you will, they, you bet you can't say Jesus. When Pastor Rick Warren did the inauguration a few years ago, how many years ago? He told him, when I finish my prayer, I say in Jesus' name. And if you can't handle it, you better call somebody else. So underline it, you got to confess, but you got to do more than confess. You got to believe, you got to trust in your heart that God raised him from the dead. This is salvation. That's what else could it be about? What else could life be about? Collecting stuff and dying and going to hell? Come on, help me out. The best we can do. Remember, I've said it before, the best you and I can do is have exclusive access to temporary stuff. That's the best we can do in life. Have exclusive access to temporary. I got a private jet. Okay, that's temporary because you're going to die and that jet going to be on the runway somewhere. Oh, I got a nice big house. That's okay because it's temporary because you're going to die and it's going to be sitting there. You know how much money I got to make? It don't matter because you're going to die and it's going to be left there. The best we can do is exclusive access to temporary stuff. So what is life about? It's about this right here. It's about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead so you can be rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Take us to Romans 10 and 13. Look right here. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they told him, you better not call on that name. Family, this is what it's all about. all these divine appointments. Yeah, I was sharing yesterday, divine appointment. And he said, do you know how good it's going to feel? This is what one of my older mentors was telling me. Deacon Mac's dad was with him yesterday. He said, do you know how good it's going to feel if you get to heaven and somebody you don't even know is going to come up to you and say, you know, I'm here because of you. What do you mean? Well, you told such and such on the job. 10 years later, he got saved. I'm his great-great-grandson or son, and I got saved. I'm his nephew, and he shared with me. And so I just want to let you know, I'm here because of you. Come on, family. Do you understand the magic? That's what this whole thing is about. Man, do you know how your mind is going to be blown? Big mother, one of those kids that you used to come to your house and all that, and then you're going to see some great grandkid and going to say, you know, hey, that's the one. Just want to tell you, I'm here because of you. That's why every appointment we have, we don't have a minute to waste. I guess this is for the younger folks. As I was sitting and sharing yesterday with this divine appointment, it was his 88th birthday, and he was telling me, Reverend Carter, either you can use time or you can waste time. He said, but you can sit in that corner for your whole life, and time is still going to go by. Family, we might not get another opportunity for a divine appointment that we miss because we're not dialed in and understanding how divine the appointment is. And remember, you can't say no, nothing. If you know how God works, you could ask Paul, you could ask Samuel, nothing happens by accident. Verse 22 again. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed. Any man gonna confess, come on, Lord, that he is Christ, he should be put out of the temple. Verse 23, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Gosh. Religion over relationship. I wrote this down, this is how we're gonna end today. Let me, this is how. It says that the culture will always clash with Christ. Religion will always reject Christ, and relationship with God will reveal Christ. Let me say it again. Culture will always clash with Christ. Religion will always reject Christ, and relationship with God will reveal Christ. Verse 23, therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And that's where we're going to pick it up next week. Let's just bow for a quick minute. Jesus passed the baton to us and said, we're the light of the world. And he said, get out there and let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. And then the word of God is revealing to us now that every encounter we have with someone is a divine appointment. Some kind of way we got to bring Christ into the conversation in hopes that the seed that we will plant and water somewhere down the line, God will give the increase. And just like it said with Saul, God turned him into another man. God transformed him. God, we're praying for our siblings, our parents, our friends, our kids. God, that you would transform them, that you would turn them into a new creation in Christ. In every appointment, every encounter, we understand it's a divine appointment. God, we don't have time to waste. We don't have a minute to give away. Everything is strategic and on purpose. It requires a level of spiritual maturity, God, that you're calling us to, that everything we do count and matters for Christ. We accept the challenge. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. You will lift us up at the right time. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You told us to be very courageous and of good cheer. You are with us. So God, as we go out and we have these divine encounters, thank you for being with us. You told us to go and preach the gospel and make disciples. That's our assignment. Divine encounters daily. Reveal, rip the scales off our eyes so we can see. We'll be talking to someone and you'll bring this to our remembrance. The scales will be ripped off and we'll understand, this is a divine encounter. God, don't let us miss it. Don't let us miss another opportunity. We love you for your word today. Maybe someone's here and they say, Pastor, the word said that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that I shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, Pastor, I've never confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord and I've never believed in my heart. Maybe I have confessed, but I didn't believe. The two go together. You cannot only confess, you have to believe, because people say stuff all the time, but it doesn't penetrate their heart. So if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never confessed and believed. I've never trusted Jesus Christ to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I want you to elevate your hand. You don't have to leave here unsure. You can know. It's not based on a feeling. It's based on the word of God. Christ will come and live within you and rescue you. And Jesus eliminated all the foolishness. He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Regardless of what you've done, what you look like, what you haven't done, where you've been, where you haven't been, whoever humbles themselves, calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. You just kind of been out and you've been using encounters for your own purposes, not even close to divine. But you understand, God, I got to get it together. I got to understand. Somebody could die and go to hell, and I had the opportunity to share Christ with them or plant a seed or water a seed. God, I got to get back on track. It's just rededication. That's between you and God. Nobody needs to know. There's no need to put on a show. You don't need to raise your hand. That's just, God, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for a second chance. God, I'm going to do better. Because now, through your word, I know better. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official. I want to become a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church. I can grow here. I can serve here. If that's you, elevate your hand. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you for the divine appointment you set up with us today to give you the glory, to be refreshed and renewed and revived so we can go out and infect and affect a lost and dying world. God, let us not take for granted the divine appointments that we encounter every day. Give us the courage to stand for you. Let us not be intimidated by the religious folks and even family that won't take a stand for Christ. But God, make us a committee of one to let our light shine so others might see the good works in us and glorify God in heaven. Bless your people. Thank you for blessing your word, Lord. Don't let us forget each day this week you have divine encounters set up for us. And we thank you for it now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.